Proverbs 14 and then 2 Kings chapter 4. Proverbs 14 and 2 Kings chapter 4. I take you to Proverbs 14 because this is kind of a theme verse for this month. May is the month of for mothers here at Maranatha Baptist Church. And we are looking at this verse, began to look at it last week. Proverbs 14 is where we'll begin. And then we'll go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. He's ready for children's church, isn't he? I guess I need to dismiss the kids. Let's go ahead and do that. I'll not have you stand, but we'll let the kids be dismissed to junior church and the toddler church this morning. Let's begin in Proverbs 14. And I just want to mention this briefly, then we'll go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Proverbs 14, verse number 1. Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Now let me ask you a question. How do we know whether a woman is wise or not? We know that she is wise based upon what she does with God's Word. The book of Proverbs in its entirety really is speaking about wisdom and foolishness. Speaking about those who receive God's Word, they are wise, they are righteous. Those who reject God's Word, they are foolish, they're wicked, they're evil. And in Proverbs 14, verse number 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. How does she build it? She builds it on God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, we looked at it last week briefly. Just want to mention it. That passage that speaks about building our homes upon the rock, or building our homes upon the sand. That all has to do with whether we receive or reject the Word of God. And so the Bible says here, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so last week, we began to look at that theme and we saw Ruth. And we saw that she was a woman who built up, who built her home. And she did so because she stayed with God. She told Naomi, look, your God is my God. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Your God is going to be my God. She stayed with God. And so this morning we want to look at another lady in 2 Kings chapter number 4. And listen, as we prepare for a day like today, Mother's Day, every single one of us, we all seek to find that perfect card. Let me ask you, how many of you, be honest, it's hard to pick out cards, whether it's Mother's Day, anniversaries, birthdays, it's just hard to pick out cards. Yeah, it's just hard, because they're either too mushy, they say they have way too many words in it, or it's just kind of superficial, it doesn't say enough, it doesn't say exactly what it's hard. And you come to a day like today, Mother's Day, one of the most used phrases in Mother's Day cards is best mom ever. Best mom ever. Well, that's good, and your mom should be the best mom ever. To you, she should be the best mom ever. Well, in our passage today, we have a young man. Now, he's not even born yet, but we're going to see a young man who he could have genuinely and truly gotten a card that said, greatest mom ever. Now, the Bible isn't saying that she's the greatest of all moms in the Scriptures, but notice what the Bible says about her. 2 Kings chapter number 4. The Bible, 2 Kings 4, let's begin verse number 8. That's where we want to begin. The Bible says, and it fell on a day. And again, we mentioned this last week. Never despise the day of small things. We briefly mentioned that last week. Most days are just, they're just days. And you go about your day, you're just faithful every day. Last Sunday night, we talked about Jericho. 6 days. Just mundane. The miracle of the mundane. They walked around 6 days. They did the same thing for 6 days. But it wasn't until the 7th day they got to see the victory. They got to see the miracle. Most days are just like the first 6 days walking around Jericho. They're just simple days. The Bible says, and it fell on a day. It's just a day. Just another day. Here's a family. We know that in this story, the husband is a farmer and the wife is, for all intents and purposes, we know she was a homemaker. And she would have been, this family would have been very similar to families here at Maranatha Baptist Church. And the Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, Where was a, what's the next word? Great woman. Greatest mom ever. That's what he could have said. Because the Bible said it about her. Not because someone else said it about her, not because he thought it about her, but because the Bible says that here in this town called Shunem, there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. This morning, very simply, I want us to speak on that subject, greatest mom ever. And I want to give us four characteristics of a great woman. Four characteristics of a great woman. Father, help us today and teach us. Father, we thank you and praise you for the moms that you have given us. Father, we understand today that there is no mom perfect. There's no dad who is perfect. There's none of us who are perfect. You tell us there's none good, no, not one. But Father, I'm thankful for moms, thankful for wives who strive to serve you and strive to live for you. And Father, for those who are doing that this morning, I pray that you would encourage them. Father, there may be some in here this morning who would say, you know, I could probably do better. I'm not necessarily a definition, or I'm not necessarily similar to this great woman in 2 Kings 4, but I would sure like to be. And so, Father, whatever the need would be today, whether it's just encouragement or conviction, Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this day. We thank and praise you for moms. We honor them today. I pray that you would bless. And Father, I do pray if there would be anyone here today, whether it's a mom or a teenager, a young person, a man, woman, boy, or girl, who's never come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if death were to take them today, they have no idea where they would spend eternity. I pray that before they leave this property today, before they leave this auditorium, that they would have that settled. Father, we pray, and I pray right now, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in this place today. Father, I pray that you would bind the hindrances of the devil today. And Father, I pray that you just give us freedom in this place today. Help our children next door. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do in these next few moments. We commit it to you, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one this morning, greatest mom ever. I want us to see, first of all, that a great woman has a heart of hospitality. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back, you'll be able to follow along. But number one this morning, a great woman has a heart of hospitality. We read verse number 8, we read verse number 10. The Bible says it fell on a day that Elisha was the prophet. Elisha was the man who came after Elijah. Elijah cast the mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha began to follow him. And we know that Elisha asked for a double portion from God when Elijah went up in the whirlwind. Elisha asked that he would have a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And we know that God answered that prayer request. This is the man, the prophet Elisha. And the Bible said that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Verse 10. And she tells her husband, let us make a little chamber. I pray thee on the wall and let us set for him. You know what she's saying? She said, let us take a little section of our home and let's make an extra room for the man of God, for the prophet. And when he comes, let's house him. Let's let him come to our house. What do you think about that? You want to talk about a great woman. A great woman is a woman who wants to be around the things of God. A great woman is a woman who wants to have the prophet of God to come to her house and to influence and to impact her home. A great woman has a heart of hospitality. And by the way, what is in our hearts will determine, what is in our hearts will determine what we do with our time and with our treasures. Hey, men and women alike today, don't miss that. What is in our hearts will determine what we do with our time and what we do with our treasures. the man of God would come, Elisha would come, and when he would come to Shunem, this lady, we don't know her name, we just call her the Shunammite woman. And she would want Elisha to come to her home. She even went to the trouble to make a room for him. And the Bible says that she set a bed for him, she set a table for him, she set a stool, she put a candlestick, so that when he came, he would turn in thither. She had a heart of hospitality. She wanted the man of God to impact and influence their home. That's a great woman. Number one, a great woman has a heart of hospitality. And by the way, none of these this morning we're going to develop deeply this morning just for sake of time. But that heart of hospitality carries the idea of selflessness, of always thinking about others. Again, with time, with money. Hey, we live in a day-to-day where, and probably many of you in here this morning, probably the last few months, money's been tight. You're paying for gas. We're all paying for gas, and we're all paying for diesel. I can't imagine running a bunch of trucks, buying a bunch of diesel every week. I can't even imagine that. And boy, things are a little tighter than maybe they were 6 months ago or a year ago. But you know what? People still need us to help. God still expects that we give. You see, what's in our hearts is going to determine what we do with our time and what we do with our treasure. This lady said, look, I want my time to be spent with the man of God. And we don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about her husband. It mentions him. We don't know if he was a godly man, a faithful man. He seems to like he probably was. But this lady, she said, hey, let's take some funds. Let's take some finances. Let's make a room for him. Let's set up a room so when he comes that he can stay with us. Number one, a great woman has a heart of hospitality. Number two, a great woman has wisdom from the Word. Would you notice verse number 9? A great woman has wisdom from the Word. Verse number 9, and she said unto her husband, notice this. When Elisha would come to town, she wanted him to come and eat bread. But notice what she says in verse number 9. And she said unto her husband, behold now I, what? What's the word there? Perceive. She had some discernment. She had some understanding. She had some wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Word of God. She had wisdom from the Word. She said, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. You know what that tells me about Elisha? That tells me that Elisha didn't come to town and say, hey, Elisha's here. Elisha didn't go around saying, hey, you know who I am, don't you? That's what it tells me about Elisha. She didn't even know who he was at first. Here comes Elisha through town, and this lady says, this Shunammite woman, she says, hey, she's talking to her husband maybe at night, maybe right before they're going to bed, and they're just talking. She says, hey, this is a holy man of God. This is a man that we ought to have at our house. This is a man who's going to help us. I perceive. You know what we're missing today? In men and women alike, not just in moms, but in dads, we're missing discernment. You ever ask yourself, you ever look and say, whoa, why in the world would they do that? Or why in the world would they let them do that? What in the world are they doing? You ever thought of that? Ever thought that? You know what the problem is? It's discernment. We don't have any discernment. And we don't have discernment because we don't know what the Word of God says. Things we're doing today, things we're saying today, things we're allowing in our lives and in our homes today that people 20 years ago, 30 years ago would have looked and said, y'all are absolutely out of your mind and crazy to allow that stuff in your home. And the reason we do is because we don't have any discernment. Because discernment comes from the Word of God. And I'm using the phrase we. I'm talking about society as a whole. Not necessarily talking about us as a church. I'm talking about society as a whole. We don't know what the Word says. Because of that, we don't have any discernment. What did this lady say? She said, I perceive that this is a holy man. Moms, this morning, do you have wisdom? Yeah, I have a bachelor's degree. I have a master's degree. That's not what I'm asking you. Wisdom doesn't come from a bunch of books except for one book. And by the way, wisdom isn't an age either. Our teenage girls in here this morning can be wise if they'll listen to what the Bible says. Those little girls that sang, these little junior girls that sang, they can be wise if they'll receive what the Word of God says. Wisdom is not an age. Wisdom is what we do with the Word of God. Do we receive it? Do we receive it? Or do we reject it? Do we take it in? Do we apply it to our lives? Or we just let it go in one ear and out the other and never apply it to our lives? That's what wisdom is. It's how we react to the Word of God. It's receiving. Wisdom is having the knowledge to make right choices at opportune times. And how do we get that? We get it from the Word. We get it from the Word. Number one, a great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. She said, I perceive. Can I say that? And I'm not, please don't miss, I'm not being mean. Because I can say this about my own home. You know what every home in America needs today? Know what it needs more of? It needs more of this. And I say that for my own home. I need to read this more. My family needs to read it more. We need this more than we need Facebook. We need this more than we need any type of social media. We need this more than we need sports. We need this more than we need other types of education. I'm not against education whatsoever. But we need this. Why are we making such bad decisions in our nation today? It's because we're not making decisions based upon this. We're making decisions based upon opinion. We're making decisions based upon societal norms instead of making decisions based upon this. Number one this morning, a great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. Let me give you number three. A great woman is content in her calling. A great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. A great woman is content in her calling. Look at verse number 11. And it fell on a day. There's that phrase again. That he came thither, Elisha, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And apparently his servant's with him. So she's not only making a place for him, she's making a place for his servant as well. And he calls his servant and he says, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Here's what Elisha wanted to do. He just wanted to reward her. He wanted to be grateful. He wanted to show her his gratefulness. And he was saying, what's something I can do for you? What do you need? You need anything? He said, you've cared for us. What can we do for you? He says, what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? He said, you want me to give a good word to the king for you? And she answered, notice this. I dwell among mine own people. You know what she's saying there? She said, I don't need anything. I don't need anything else. Now, what we don't know yet is she doesn't have any children. But you know what she said? I don't need anything. I dwell among mine own people. I'm content. I'm happy. I don't need anything else. Notice verse number 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi! She says she doesn't need anything, but we need to do something for her. You ever been there? Well, you just felt like you wanted to do something for someone. They've been so nice and so kind to you. You're just like, man, I want to do something and I want it to have meaning. And that's what Elisha is saying. What should we do? What can we do for her? Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Do you know what Gehazi said? He said, you know what? She's probably never going to have children. She doesn't have any yet, and her husband is old. And he said, verse 15, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She said, no, I can't have kids. I haven't had any yet. My husband's old. She said, look, you're a holy man of God. Don't tell me a lie. Verse 17, she said, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. You know what a great woman is? A great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. A great woman is content in her calling. God, if this is the lot that you have called me to, I'm okay with it. But listen, isn't it amazing that those people who are most content, God blesses? Think about Solomon. God came to Solomon and told him, hey, ask me. What do you want? What did Solomon ask for? A heart of understanding. That's what he had, wisdom. He said, I want a heart of understanding. And God said, okay, because you didn't ask riches and you didn't ask selfish things or for selfish things, He said, I'm going to bless you with riches. That's what God does. He blesses the content. Those that are just satisfied with what God has given. Think about Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13, their herdmen are striving together because they didn't have enough land. What does Abraham tell Lot? Just take whatever you want. You go this way, I'll go that. Just take the land that you want. There's plenty. And what did God bless him with? God blessed him with seed as the in number as the sand on the seashore. You know what God does? He blesses the content. A great woman is content in her calling. Lord, if this is my lot in life, if I never have children, I'm okay. I dwell with my people. I'm satisfied. That's hard for us as Americans, isn't it? Because it's always something else. This universe, no, I'm content with God, with what you've given, with your purpose. Whatever you've called me to do, I'm just content with that. I don't have to have a mansion on the hill because I'm going to have that when I get to heaven. I'm just content with my calling. A great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. A great woman is content in her calling. I'm going to give you number four, and this is where I want to spend just a little bit of time. Not much. We'll be done briefly. A great woman, number four, has a foundation of faith. She was a great woman, and she had a heart of hospitality. She had wisdom from the Word. She was content in her calling because she had a foundation of faith. Saving faith. Living faith. Faith that saves us, that washes away our sin, that allows the blood of Christ to be applied. But then faith every single day, just to live every single day. Faith, faith, faith. She had a foundation of faith. Would you hold your place here? Would you go to the book of Hebrews with me quickly? Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're coming back to 2 Kings 4. Hebrews 11. Great woman has a foundation of faith. Faith. Faith in God's Word. Faith in God. We've mentioned many, many times recently the word courage. What is courage? Courage is faith in God's promises. It's not something we work up in ourselves. Courage is simply faith in what God has already promised. That's what courage is. I can do things and I can have courage to do things because I have faith in what God has promised. I can give my kids to God and say, God, I'm going to trust You with them because I have faith in what God has promised. But we hold on so tightly to things in our lives, especially as moms and dads, and we want our kids to stay close, and we want everybody to stay close. We never want them to move off. We never want them to get away. Listen, we ought to give our kids to God and say, God, send them wherever You want to send them. Yeah, amen. Now, that's hard for us to say, but that's biblical. That's what we ought to do. God, You can do much more with them than I can. Your plans for them are much greater than my plans for them. Do whatever You want to do with them. She had a foundation of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 35. Is the Shunammite woman in Hebrews 11? I believe she is. Hebrews 11, 35. The Bible says, women received their dead raised to life again. I believe that's the widow of Zarephath. I believe that's the Shunammite woman. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Is she what? I mean, we're fixing to get to it. Is she in the hall of faith? I believe she is. Women received their dead raised to life again. And how did they receive their dead raised to life again? By faith. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Abraham, by faith Joseph, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses, by faith, she's not mentioned, but I believe by faith the Shunammite woman. Would you look back at 2 Kings 4, verse number 18? A great woman has a foundation of faith. Romans 10:17 explains to us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Read the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Listen to the Word of God preached. If you want to increase your faith, we need the Word of God. Well, I just need to work it up. I need to have more faith. How are you going to do that? How are you going to get more faith? You're going to go to the store and get more faith? No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we get more faith? From the Word of God. How do I trust God more? When I see more of His promises. When I see Him prove Himself over and over and over again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So think about this. How did she have a foundation of faith? Think about the stories that she would have heard from Elisha when Elisha would come to stay with them and to eat. You think she ever heard the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal and what God did on Mount Carmel? When they put the wood, they're in a time of drought, and they put the wood and they put the sacrifice there, and the prophets of Baal, they're trying to call down fire, and they're cutting themselves, and they're yelling and screaming for Baal to come and bring fire down, and Elijah begins to make fun of them. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a vacation. Aren't you glad our God never takes a vacation? And He makes fun of them. Fire never comes. Then Elijah, they redo the altar. They build the altar back up because the prophets of Baal had jumped all over it and torn it up. And they build the altar back up, and they put the sacrifice on there, and they begin to pour water on it. Now remember, water is scarce. They're in a drought 3.5 years. They begin to pour water on it. They make a trench around the altar and they pour water in it. And the Bible says that Elijah prays to heaven, and the fire comes from heaven. It falls, the Bible says. And it licks up the water. It licks up the sacrifice. It licks up everything. And what do the people do immediately? They begin to worship. Because they realize He's God. You think they heard that story? I believe they did. You think they heard the story of when Elijah went up in a whirlwind? When the mantle was given to Elisha? You see, here they have the man of God coming to their house, and they're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing the proof of who Jehovah is. They're hearing the proof of what God has done in the past. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She's probably heard the story of the widow of Zarephath, where Elijah goes and she makes him a meal. They're getting ready to die. They're picking up sticks. They're going to make a fire. They're going to make a little. They're going to make a little cake, the Bible says, and they're going to eat it, and they're going to die because that's all they have left. What does Elijah do? He said, "No, make me one first." She made him one first, and the Bible says the oil never stopped, the meal never stopped, that God supplied, and her son died, and he came back. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Verse 18. The Bible says, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head!" And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. It's not time to go to see the man of God." He doesn't know what's going on. And she said, "It shall be what? Well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee?' Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? What does she say? And she answered, it is well. What is that? It's faith. It is well! She's not screaming and crying and saying, oh, my son has died. No, she said, it's well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? She said, I didn't ask you to give me a son. Did not I say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. I'm not saying this morning that God's going to raise a child back to life the way He did there. But I am saying this morning that we can have the same faith that the Shunammite woman had. Is all well? All is well. Is your husband well? Is the child well? Is all well? All is well. You see, the response from someone who has a foundation of faith is a lot different than the response from someone who doesn't. She said, all is well. So I ask us this morning from Proverbs 14, verse number 1, did she build up or did she pluck down? She built up. How did she build up? Because she was a great woman, and primarily because she was a woman of faith. Moms, this morning, are you women of faith? We need faith for salvation. We come to Jesus Christ by faith, putting our faith and trust completely and solely in His finished work for salvation. But what about every day? And it fell on a day. What about the daily, just mundane activities? The schedules and the routines. Taking care of the children, raising the children. Do we have a foundation of faith? Moms, I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to raise kids in the year 2022 according to God's Word, you better have some faith. Because people are going to mock and make fun of you if you raise your children according to this Bible. Have some faith. Have some courage, faith in God's promises. Greatest mom ever, is that you this morning? A great woman has a heart of hospitality. A great woman has wisdom that comes from the Word. That's wisdom. We're not talking about book knowledge. We're not talking about worldly wisdom. We're talking about wisdom that comes from this book. A great woman has wisdom from the Word. A great woman is content in her calling. God, this is what You've called me to. I don't have to be like my next door neighbor. I don't have to be like this person. This is what You've called me to. I'm going to be content. Boy, I'm telling you, our world needs some ladies and some young ladies who are content in their calling. Their calling as a Christian. This world has a lot of shiny things, doesn't it? But the shine dims. The shine tarnishes. And that shine is only for a moment. But what we do for God lasts forever. Hey, young people in here this morning, boys, girls, teenagers, young adults, Listen, make up your mind this morning that you're going to give your life for something more than just this world. I'm not saying every individual, every young person has to go into what we would call full-time ministry. But even if you don't, give your life for something that's more important than what this world offers. A great woman is content in her calling. She's going to be mad at me, but that's okay. I'm thankful for a wife who is content in her calling. She doesn't have to have all the nicest, newest things every day. I'm thankful for that. She's content in her calling. A great woman has a foundation of faith. It is well. How is there? It is well. Women received their dead raised to life. Here's a little Shunammite woman. I say little, I don't know. She may have been tall, I don't know. But here's the Shunammite woman. In living in obscurity, we don't even know her name. But I believe she's mentioned in Hebrews 11:35. I believe the widow of Zarephath, we don't know her name either, mentioned in Hebrews 11:35. Why? Because they had a foundation of faith. We use that word a lot. My faith, my faith, my faith. But real faith is lived out every day. Real faith is when the mocking and the scorning comes because you live by this, it's still living by this. Because we have faith in what it says. And we know that in the end, truth always wins. It always wins. Greatest mom ever, is that you? It can be. I hope it is. I hope your kids can say that. I hope your husband can say that. Dads, in a month, will speak to us. Greatest dad ever, can we say that about us? A great woman. Father, we love you today. Father, I'm thankful for an auditorium full of wonderful ladies. Ladies of faith, ladies who have hearts of hospitality, ladies who are content in their callings, ladies who are wise, because they're constantly in the Word. And Father, I pray, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if there's any decisions that need to be made this morning, but if there are, I pray that there will be movement. I pray that there will be a stirring. I pray that if there are mothers this morning who would say, you know, I'm pretty good in that area. I have a heart of hospitality, but I don't have as much wisdom as I want. I'm not as content as I should be. And boy, my faith is lacking sometimes. Father, I pray that just very simply, they would kneel and just say, Lord, encourage, strengthen me. I want to be a great woman. I want to be greatest mom ever. Lord, right now I know I'm lacking. But Lord, help me to have courage. Help me to have faith in your promises. Lord, I pray if there's one here today without Christ, I pray that today they would be saved. Father, help us in the moments to come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to play. If you need to come, if you need to kneel right where you're at. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I'd beg you to come. Just beg you to come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if death were to take me today, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. I have no confidence in my eternal destination. I just don't know. Moms, how is it this morning? Greatest mom ever? Do you have a heart of hospitality? Do you have wisdom from the Word? Do you desire to be around the things of the Word? This lady wanted the man of God to be in her home constantly. Are you content with your calling? Hey, young ladies, do you want to live a life that's going to count for eternity? Or is it just all about what we're going to get here on this earth? The pleasures and the so-called fun, a comfortable so-called life. Do you have a foundation of faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? The faithfulness of God. God is so faithful to us. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.